So I want to start here. Last Sunday night, I was hanging out with the high schoolers. We were having a good discussion back in the youth room, and we had this, you know, various free-ranging discussion and questions, and I got this really interesting question from one of our students. And she said, you know, looking at all the stuff that's been happening lately, all the crazy things and everything that's been going on, and she said, is it the end times? Is this the end? And I was like, that's a good question. And I thought about that, and being just somebody who grew up in the 80s, I recognized that when I grew up, we were living in that fear of nuclear war. And there was a lot of times when we were thinking, is this the end? Is this going to be the end of everything? And I suspect that most of us in this room, regardless of when you grew up, could have some corresponding thought to that. Some point where you've wondered, is this going to be the end of everything? And it's that natural fear, and I'm so glad that the students feel free to voice those things so we can work through. And so as we talked about it, one of the first places we went was this passage out of Matthew chapter 24. If you want to bring up that first slide, please. There's this great passage, and I really love this passage. Let me just read a little bit for you. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and they're asking, frankly, about this sort of stuff. And Jesus says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all of these are but the beginning of the birth pains. And when Jesus says this to his disciples, it is this really thought-provoking and challenging and comforting passage. Because on one hand, he's saying, look, it's going to be rough. There's going to be wars and earthquakes and famines and all this stuff's going to happen. But on the other hand, you're never going to be abandoned. And you're going to be arrested, but I'll give you the words to speak so you don't need to be afraid. And what I love about that is it gives us the full range, the highs and the lows, the promises and the worries. And it does all of this. And so I'm so glad that they ask those questions, that we're able to work through this stuff. And the reason I wanted to share that with you is because what we're talking about today is we're continuing this series, Who Are We as a Congregation? What makes Shepherd of the Hills, Shepherd of the Hills? And one of the things that makes us is that we're centered on the Bible. We come back to God's word and we understand ourselves in that lens. You see, I love science. I love all that stuff. And it is amazing just the ways that science has expanded our boundaries of our knowledge, whether we're talking physics, medicine, chemistry, mathematics, engineering. You take it, we understand our universe better through that. And that's a gift. And there's a long Christian tradition of understanding the universe and understanding the nature of the universe helps us to understand God better. Whether you're talking people like Pascal or others who have gone forward and said, let's explore this. The heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. But understanding ourselves and our relationship to God, we need the Bible for that. As much as I love modern medicine, as much as I love all of these things, physically, the only way for us to understand ourselves is using this lens of the Bible. It gives us wisdom, gives us grace. And without it, it just doesn't make sense. See, this is the story of God's love for humanity and our response to it. From the very beginning to the very end of time, that's what this is. And it's only through that, and it's finding ourselves in the story, that we can make sense out of this world. That's really what this is. It's not a history book. It does have history. It's not a theology book. It has theology. But it's fundamentally to make sense of the universe for us. So how does that work? How does that play out in our world today? If you go to that next slide, this passage we just heard out of Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, and there's this beautiful little passage where it says, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. And that's hard for us, because what this is saying you just get this much of your path ahead. Think about how it is driving around here on those little country roads during the winter, especially if it's a little dark, if the trees are scooching over there, and there's a little bit of twist, and you're feeling like you're only seeing this much. That's all you're getting. We all want those million candle power lamps that just can shoot a beam to the moon and back. We want to see the whole journey. But the reality is we only get a couple of steps ahead. And I think really that is to give us dependence on God. It is God teaching us to be dependent on him. Think about it. When Jesus is teaching the disciples the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Not weekly, not yearly, not decades long, not lifetime supply. Daily. And it is in that we learn dependence on him. That's hard. It is really hard. But the more we find ourselves in the story, the more we read this, the easier it is to shape our thoughts, the easier it is for us to get in that habit and see ourselves in that story. Now, a lot of time pastors will get up here and will say, you need to read your Bible more. And then we stop there. And we don't tell you how to do it. Okay? And I have done that times in my past, and I'm sorry for it. So let's say, how do you read your Bible? How do you do that? First thing is you get a Bible, and if you want to grab one of the blue ones out of there, go for it, okay? Just grab one and take it with you, okay? We got plenty more. But what I also really want to recommend is get yourself a good study Bible, because what you get in a good study Bible, for instance, this is the one I really recommend. It's the Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia. It's phenomenal. But it's got the Bible text up here, and then down at the bottom, it's got notes. So as you're reading through, it's like, okay, what's a Pharisee? Who are the Sanhedrin? What is this? And you look down here, and you'll see a little note that says, oh, the Sanhedrin is 70 rulers of religious class of Jerusalem. You're like, oh, now I know. Now, I am happy.